Own it. Own it.
Lives we crucify.
We don't have our hopes in money.
Money is only a means to an end.
We want our families to be confident.
We want our children to come to have a better condition in this world than we have.
And we want to finance a Muslim community following
the Quran and Muhammad's way of life
under God alone.
That's what we want.
We can't do it without money.
Believers want a religious community that they can feel good about.
And just like the poorest one of us like to dress up nicely.
We want to dress our community up nicely.
We don't want our schools in a condition that shame us.
Not to mention how it shames the Quran and Muhammad's way.
We don't want our masjid, our centers, shaming us.
We don't want our teachers shaming us.
We have to bring everything up to par so that we feel good when we look at it.
And we can celebrate our accomplishment.
To do that, we have to have money.
And I'm not the leader that will allow, with my consent, your leaders that claim to be following me, to oppress you and treat you like you're pack animals, our slaves.
I won't accept that.
So if I won't accept that,
how are we going to get the money? You don't have enough money for them.
To put them in nice cars, nice living quarters, and dress them up nicely.
You're poorer than they are.
You don't have enough money for that.
So we got to get the money.
And the only way I know to get it is the way the world has gotten it.
Business.
We have to be business.
We have to have business sense, and we have to do business in a business way.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
We cannot lose if we hold on to Allah.
Christianity says, Judaism says, Islam says,
God will never break off from you.
You have to break off from him.
He will never break off from you.
And then God revealed in the Quran, catch on, grip, and hold on.
To the cable, the rope that God sent down to you from heaven.
A firm hold that will never break.
A firm handhold for you that will never break.
Now you know God created us to be born just like animals.
Animals of the womb that are tied to the mother.
By the navel cord.
Umbilical cord.
Or navel cord.
In this first awakening that we have as human beings, we are tied to Mother Nature.
That's a sign of how we're tied to Mother Nature.
The way God tied us to our mother while we were in her.
We're tied to Mother Nature the way we are tied to our mothers that give birth to us.
And we can't have life except from her body.
While we are in her body.
Likewise, those who are still under the grip of nature and have not awakened to God's plan for human beings.
They are tied to the navel cord of Mother Nature. and they cannot get any life except from the material world and its nature.
God has to reveal to them.
And like the new baby has to be separated and then take in the breath outside of his mother.
We have to be separated from this dependency on natural life and the natural world.
To latch on to God, to grab a new cord.
The new cord is not flesh and blood.
The new cord is spirit.
The spirit of God comes down from high.
And connect us to him.
So we can feed on divine.
And open up our minds and souls and hearts to a new reality.
And follow the best of his servants.
Isn't it wonderful?
Allahu Akbar.
God has done that for us.
So let us wake up and respect what he has done for us.
You know, sometimes a great thing can be done for you, and you fail even to thank the person that did it.
Maybe they die, and then you start to think back on what happened.
And you start to weep and cry because you didn't thank them like you should have.
Too late, they're gone.
It will never be too late to thank God.
Except that you die. Because God is always existing and ready to hear your thankfulness.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulid.
Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad.
God revealed Over 14 centuries ago, to Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet, the mercy to the world,
telling him and us who follow him to say, He, the God, is one alone.
The God is eternal, resisting any attempt to affect him or to change him.
Never did he give birth to a son.
And never was he born a son.
And there never exists anything that can be compared to him.
Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad.
And that is called by a name that's not in the text.
It is called the unity, but unity is not in the text.
It means that if we accept this alone can unite us, if we accept that picture, that idea of God,
that alone can bring us together in unity.
Allahu Akbar.
It is also called Surah Al-Ikhlas.
But where is Ikhlas in the text?
The Arabs, when they finish with a discussion, or they finish with something, and they're tired of just prolonging it,
like some of you are with my talk here.
God, no, I'm not holding you. I'm not holding you.
God is holding you.
I let you go anytime to get ready.
Go to the washroom, go out,
go back home, go play.
God knows.
I'll let you go anytime to get ready. And not offended, will love you still.
Praise be to Allah.
But Allah is holding you and holding me.
I can't rush it up and you can't rush it up.
Praise be to Allah.
So it's called Surah Al-Ikhlas.
And the Arabs, when they finish with something, they say khalas, from the same root.
Khalas.
It means finished, concluded,
nothing else to be said or done.
So they appropriately gave this name to this Chapter, and it's very appropriate for us.
Because the logic here says it's finished, there's no more to be said.
Now what many learned leaders of Islam, scholars and imams, muftis and everything in the Islamic world don't know is this that I'm going to tell you right now here.
The Bible ends with revelation. It is done.
Finished.
But it wasn't done.
It was not finished.
Allah had to give the Quran
and this surah
that finishes the discussion
about who is God,
what is God,
where is God,
finishes it.
Praise be to Allah.
Now God also says,
Elisa Lahu al-Khalq
wal-Amr.
This is another trouble spot for theologians.
For wise people in religion.
Now God, you acknowledge that God made all this.
The skies, the earth, all the natural things.
And the human beings that he created to also be creators.
You hear that?
The human beings he created to also be creators.
Well, where did you get that from, brother Imam? And he, Allah, Ahsan al-Khaliqin.
He is the best of creators.
So that's telling us that Allah made other creators.
He's just the best of the creators.
What has man created?
Goods, comfort,
and a lot of other things on that side,
and hell.
Now, I'm going to address this to you, brothers. I'd like to call you my co-workers,
imams in this community.
You imams and leaders. God knows that there is nothing I want to give you except peace.
Assalamu alaykum.
Peace be unto you.
When I say that, it's not just a greeting that I'm not conscious of.
I wish you to have peace, and I wish you to be responsible or obligated to keep the peace.
Yes, I do.
There is another chapter in Quran.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Li'ilafi Quraysh. Ilafihim rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf.
For the protection of the Quraysh.
The tribe that Muhammad the Prophet informed, that was his tribe. Its protection is assured.
Throughout our winter and summer.
The two extremes, winter and summer.
Winter brings death to the earth crops.
And the warm weather brings the life back again.
The extreme of both can be very harmful
and punishing.
Extreme cold can be punishing.
Extreme heat can be punishing.
The cold will kill your work.
The farmer, the agriculturist.
The cold will kill your work.
But also the heat will kill your work.
Dry it out.
And grass is the most tender and vulnerable to these changes.
When the heat comes, the grass will die sometime within a night or a day and a night.
You go out and look at your grass, it's turning yellow.
Too much heat, dried it out,
it starts to die.
And they call us the grass roots, don't they?
And they put us in the heat.
They want us to be in the high heat all the time.
To make sure that we have no production.
No production in the heat of lust.
Lust for women, for sex.
Lust for money.
Lust for just playtime.
They put us in the lust for life.
To burn us up
so we cannot have any production.
burn the life out of us.
Every grass,
only because we haven't been favored to receive the life that God intended for us.
That second life,
that second breath of life. Once you get that second breath of life, you're not grass anymore. You're a much higher creation than grass after you get that second life.
Praise be to Allah.
For the protection of Christ through winter and summer, the extremes of life that kill you and kill your production. Says, therefore, serve, worship the Lord of this house.
Now.
The house built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael is accepted to be, known to be and accepted to be the Arabs. So this is saying to the Arabs, it was your father whose father was Abraham who built this house. And this house is the reason why you are protected from the extremes of winter and summer. Pilgrims were coming there before Muhammad the prophet. Pilgrims came there because that house had lost its meaning and connection with God in the right way, but it still was a connection with God. Only with 369 gods, so history says. That they had placed in that house 369 household gods. Some were said to give them better crops if you pray to them. That crops would be better. If you needed rain, pray to this one. The rain will come. If you need money, pray to this one. Money will come. If you need healing, pray to that one. Healing will come. So they had a god for almost everything. If you want the land to bear more, pray to that one, the God of fertility, the land will bear more. But they had that kind of attachment to their house, and their gods were in that house. And because they all shared that belief, they all would come once a year to make circles around that house, just as we do now. The only thing, they didn't have the dignity that we had. They thought it was nice to go around the house in the nude. So they would go around the house in the nude,
naked.
This is history. They would go around the house in the nude. What that means, what that tells us about them and that house. It tells us that they believed that house was the beginning of creation for human beings. That house was represented housing the first life of human beings. And the first life of human beings is naked. The baby is the first life of human beings. And the baby comes here naked. So they saw that house as the house that protected the first human being, the most ancient of houses. I could tell you a lot on that house. All right. So God is saying through Muhammad to his people, the Arabs, he's saying to them, you didn't do this yourself. God bless you with this good situation. Where you got a house, you've lost the purity of it, but you still got the house, and it brings all of you from distant places once a year to this place. And that's how you survive the winters and the summers, the extremes of the winters and the summers. The merchants would get rich once a year, like they do now. The merchants would get rich for doing every pilgrimage. They would get rich because people are coming there. They have to stay there for the duration of the time of the pilgrimage, and they have to have food. They have to buy things, so the merchants would be ready. Big bazaar. And the food would be there and everything. And they're paying for it. They're paying even for the water, like some of them right now would charge you for water. You don't have to pay them. You can go to Zamzam and get your own water. But for convenience, if you're real thirsty, you buy the water. You say, how much? A dollar. Give them a dollar. Oh, then never mind.
So God gave them that security
from the extremes of life,
cold winters and summers that burn up your production. So God is reminding them of that so they would listen to Muhammad and respect where he's coming from. And this was not the only chapter or the only piece of revelation that caught the Arabs' attention. But this was a powerful piece of revelation from God that caught the Arabs' attention. Now you may say, well, this revelation is not to Arabs. You're correct. It's to all of us. Because all of us live in the extremes of winter and summer. And God has given all of us original, innocent, virgin nature. That if we return to it, we can have a good life that will protect us from the extremes of winter and summer. Because when you love your original creation that God made, not a lying human being, a truthful human being, not a rebellious human being, an obeying human being. Every baby comes here, not lying to us, but being truthful. With his affections and everything else. The baby doesn't like you, ain't gonna hug and kiss you until he learns psychology and lying for us. That baby won't hug and kiss you. That baby will reject you. And when he gives you his affections, it's true and sincere. When you return to that nature, you have protection from the extremes of winter and summer. So this is a sign to all of us. The Kaaba is a great sign. The house is a great sign to all of us. Go back to the first social life and nature that God created for you. And you will have the life that you can build upon. Build and build and build. And you can stretch out from there. Because if you stay in that life, human beings all over the world can connect up with you. Because that's the life God gave them originally too. Innocent life, truthful life, not hypocritical life. So if you stay in that life, eventually the whole world can connect up. Because that's the life he gave every human being before they were Asian, African, European, black, white, and other colors. He gave them that life. They are born human before they are born in any other identity. And if you will stay in that original purity of the human he created, you can connect up with the world of mankind. And all of you can have protection from the extremes of winter and summer. We can't stop now, can we? No. They'll have to kill me and all those who are with me. We will not stop now. They couldn't stop us before. Now that I got the second breath of life, you're wasting your time. The one who made them, who fed them against hunger, and who made them safe or secure. From fear. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, when we hunger, we start to be afraid for our life. I'm going to die if I don't get something. Right? Hunger and fear go together. The extremes of the one gives you the extreme of the other. Replying to the Pharaoh of ancient Egypt. Pharaoh got to be so mighty with his people and his nation and their building, their great building works. He got to be so mighty that he actually began to think he was the only God existing. And he laughed at Moses and the God that Moses represented. He said, told his builders, Build a ladder, scaffold. Let us go up in the sky and see if we find that God that Moses is talking about. Just making fun, you know. Well, Moses responded to him in certain ways. Abraham responded to him in this way.
He threatened to cut Abraham off from life. On Abraham in the prophecy piece that Abraham said, Elevi Halakani Sayahdin. He who gave me my creation, or who created me, will guide me. Shall guide me. Sayahdin. Shall guide me.
So with that, he appeals to the intelligence that should be rational intelligence in the Pharaoh. But he also, at the same time, gave a conclusive, emphatic, and conclusive statement to Pharaoh. You're wasting your time with me. I will not be guided by you. You're not going to guide my life. The God who created me is the one that shall guide me. So he was making an emphatic statement to Pharaoh, saying, never will you get me. But at the same time, he was appealing to the intelligence of Pharaoh. He was saying to Pharaoh, guidance comes from the creation of God. God created things to guide the intelligence of human beings. Pharaoh, you should know this better than anybody. All your science you got, science of colors, science of plants, science of construction, all of that you got, chemistry and all the sciences you got, you know you didn't get those sciences from yourself. You got those sciences from studying what God created. So he was appealing to his good senses and rational senses at the same time.
He who created me shall guide me.
He was saying to Pharaoh, you lie. You don't give God credit for your guidance. So I'm telling you, I'm not like you, Pharaoh. I worship the God that guided me, that guides me through his creation. He created me and gave me guidance in his creation. That's the God I worship. I'm not going to be a hypocrite like you, Pharaoh. Get all the help from creation that God made, and then you claim yourself you God. Don't you know those pharaohs exist today? The secular world? The public school system? The colleges and universities? They take God out of the picture. So you will worship them as the great minds that have brought all this science and wisdom and knowledge, etc. When they have done nothing but studied God's creation over a period of hundreds and thousands of years. And piled it, compiled it, and piled it up, where they are now have storehouses of nothing but science and knowledge. But how did it come to them? They went to what God made and studied it. Right? What science do they have about human beings? The science of skin? That's my skin. You studied it and found out how my skin exists and keeps itself healthy. That's all you did. You got that knowledge out of studying the human skin. Science of bones, science of the eye. You don't have anything except you went to what God did and got it. You have to go to what God did and got it. What do you have that you didn't go to what God did for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now that's the fact. And Islam comes, the Quran comes, and Muhammad comes to make that perfectly clear.
It says, Alaysa lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Is it not for him both the creation and the command over it?
Man wants the command over it, to have power over other men. He wants the command over it, so he can become the boss over other men. So the question is put to the man. Is it not for God both creation and the command over it? Are you the creator of these things? Did you lock these sciences up in matter? Did you create nature to have this kind of discipline to educate you? No, you didn't. God, the Creator, did it. As well as your own self. He created you too. And gave you designs. And gave you laws over your matter. And gave you systems that can be studied because they follow a logic. They follow a definite order and a definite logic. God made that to be put into your head. Now, why don't you acknowledge him to the masses of people? Why don't you acknowledge him to the public? It's a great shirk. It's a great sin on the modern world that it let these schools operate and don't introduce them to God first. First! You didn't bring about anything that you're using. You didn't create it.